Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, it's certainly good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. We're thankful for the Holy Ghost and the presence of the Lord that we feel in this place. You may be seated. Hallelujah. We want to say thank you for the invitation. It is an honor to be in this church tonight and to stand behind this podium. Amen. We thank Brother Bass, and we love and appreciate the Basses. And I am believing God for a complete recovery for this good preacher. Amen. God is still a healer. And we're believing God for that. We're so thankful for their friendship. And matter of fact, I guess he had just found out when he was at our place preaching. And he was preaching about Isaiah seeing the Lord high and lifted up and at our place. And did he ever walk in the Holy Ghost and bless our church? Hallelujah. And never disclosed that he had just recently got the news that he had cancer. And we appreciate him and appreciate his ministry. This church is surely blessed to have a such a capable and able preacher of the gospel. And we love and appreciate them. Good to see Elder Bass. Amen. We give honor to this good elder. He's preached at our church also. And he has definitely made a memorable mark on Truth Tabernacle. And we love and appreciate him and all that he has done for the kingdom of God. Amen. We want to say thank you for all of the food. And I don't believe I had what we had last night. I guess crawfish I've never had better. And it was excellent. Appreciate all that this church has gone to make things so nice in the midst of having this conference. And appreciate the beautiful room and everything. Everything was so nice, the basket. And I had gone through it already, just about devoured it. I thought maybe they gave me the wrong basket. It was for somebody else. I didn't know what to do with that package of pink stuff. Some kind of little big ball and all these creams and things. I didn't know whether to eat it or to use it. I don't know what you do with that ball. Maybe they can tell me that. Play with it? I don't know. Oh, well, no wonder. Well, I won't eat it. I'll take it home. Hallelujah. But we appreciate everything y'all have done. Hallelujah. I was thinking, if you'll just allow me a little bit of liberty here and to kind of get my bearings. But I was thinking, Brother Gilmer, it was just with us, Elder Chris Gilmer, and he always has these funny stories. And he was talking to me about being with Elder Burr out on his ranch. And he said they were sitting there, and Brother Burr was bragging on his son-in-law's building, and he was describing to him all of the different artwork and heights of everything and the beauty and these angels that are over the platform. Now, I've never been there, but he said he was really going to great elaboration to describe how beautiful these angels were and all the millions of dollars. And Brother Gilmer said, I looked at Brother Burr and said, you know what, Brother Burr? I bet God's really impressed with all that. I bet he said, I ain't never seen anything like that. He said, Brother Burr said, shut up, Chris. Lord have mercy. You know, I don't know what all God's impressed with in the outward, but I do know what Elder McMullen mentioned today is so true. And what Elder McKillops has commented on tonight. Benjamin Franklin, I had wrote this down this afternoon because I remembered, at least in portion, he said it's the eyes of other people that that ruin us. He said, if all but myself were blind He said, I should want neither fine clothes, fine houses, nor fine furniture. Really, there's a lot of truth to that. You know, God's not impressed with nearly all the stuff we're impressed with. Amen. He's more impressed with the beauty of worship and holiness and of people that love Him, worship Him, live for Him. Amen. What impresses us doesn't necessarily impress God. That's why He said, wherever two or more are gathered together in My name. Amen. He understands the nature of this old humanity that we have. We're impressed with crowds and numbers and glitz and starry things. But God's not impressed with all of that. If He could find one man, one woman, that would lift up His name and begin to worship Him. Now, then the Lord's impressed. Hallelujah. The Bible did say that when a sinner repents, God halts everything that's going on in heaven. And the Bible said there is joy in heaven over one sinner. Hallelujah. So, you know, I think we're probably more impressed with ourselves than God is. Amen. Made me think. I thought, well, if everybody was blind, why would I need all this stuff? That is so true. Well, I appreciate all the preaching that I've heard. I apologize for coming in late last night, but due to the delays at the airlines, and you're not going to believe this. There's no lights out here. I can't read signs. I can't see house numbers. I'm from the city, and I can navigate all through Los Angeles and the Harbor Freeways and the 405 and the 605 and the 110 and the 105 and the 99 and all of those. But I get here and I just about got lost. I almost could not find my way around. But I apologize for coming in late. But I am so thankful for what I heard from Elder Jordan. Amen. Capable preacher of the gospel. Amen. And I want to view the church the way that God wants me to. Amen. And then this morning, Elder Hyler, he evermore preached, did he not? Bless our hearts. And I want to consecrate. I really do. I want to be a consecrated preacher. And I appreciate all these preachers. I tell you, you know, we get a lot in these last days, it seems like, and it's no reflection on anybody that's here. It's just my own observations, and it's not every young preacher, but it seems like that we're getting a crop that are more interested in alligator shoes and tailor-made shirts and suits, and they have all of the accoutrements, amen, without having the main thing. What I'm afraid of is men that when they take churches and churches become businesses and numbers. God, give us shepherds. Give us shepherds in these last days. You know, there's a difference between just having a minister and having a shepherd. Well, praise the Lord. God, give us shepherds with a shepherd's heart. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I know I'm dragging along and I need to do that which I have feared. It's here. Hebrews chapter number 11. If you would turn in the word of the Lord with me tonight. And I just want to obey the Lord. And if the Lord will help us, I know it'll be all right. If He doesn't, we're all in trouble. But I'm sure tomorrow, I have heard Pastor Dudley here. He and I preached a meeting a while back up in the frozen country. And I like to never got thawed out, brother. Amen. But he can fix whatever and repair whatever I mess up. And, of course, tomorrow night, Brother Robert Davis, he can surely carry the mail, I know. But if really, I'm not a conference preacher. And I know that's said by probably a lot of men, and they're sincere, but I'm really sincere. You understand? I'm not just sincere. I'm really sincere. I've been a home missions pastor, started churches, and the church I'm in now I did not start, but I have the honor of trying to hold the fort until Jesus comes. And we're trying to do all that we can for the kingdom, but I'm not a conference preacher. But if you'll just let me do what I feel, and I know you will, because you're kind of stuck. You're all sitting here, and you come to hear something. But last night I like to never got to sleep, and I was tossing and turning, and I felt like the Lord led me in a direction that I had not completely intended to go. And again this afternoon, and I believe it's not an accident, amen, that God shows up on the scene. And we can make all the plans we want, amen, but if God doesn't come, amen, then it's nothing more than oratory and speeches, amen, and intellectual stimuli. But if the Holy Ghost will come into this house tonight, and that's what we need. We need a move of the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. We need our lives touched tonight by the hand of God. Amen. I believe the Lord wants to do something in this house. I hope you came with some expectation tonight. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, a very familiar passage, I'm sure, to everybody, but just bear with me for a few moments tonight. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse number 6, and then I'll allow you to be seated. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Father, we come to You in Your precious name. God, I'm asking that You would anoint my mind, these lips of clay, that God, that I would be a vessel in Your hand tonight. God, that You would touch those in the sound of my voice. That God, that the Holy Ghost would do its work. That the Word of God would have free course tonight in this place. Lord, I pray for Your perfect will to be performed tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated for a few moments tonight. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Verse 6 said, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Yes, I'm going to preach tonight on hope. Hope. Well, I thought you were going to preach on faith. Well, you can't have faith without hope. Amen. If you're going to have faith, if you're going to have, well, that's good. I put together faith and hope all in one word. The Holy Ghost hit me. He's already in other tongues. Hallelujah. God is going to pay me back for all of my teasing my son-in-law's father. Brother Lambeth and I are good friends. And I'm glad he's not here tonight. He'll be here tomorrow night. And I told him one time after a meeting, I said, yeah, they're selling your tapes. I said, they're selling two separate CDs. One's in English and the other's in other tongues. You just have to know Him to know what I mean by that. Amen. But without hope, there is no faith. And if you'll just allow me the liberty to just read to you here, amen, out of the Amplified, the same verse number 1, it said, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of the reality. Now, I want to talk about this verse number 1 for a little bit before I move on. And I'll just be honest with you. For many years, I looked at verse number 1 of chapter 11, and it's almost a mind twister. It kind of messes what you're thinking, you've really got to slow down and look at this. And no doubt tonight, most of you have already got the full assurance and understanding of it. But just bear with me a few moments tonight as I try to preach to you. He said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Amen. And so my understanding of this is that without hope, there is no faith. And faith, if it is the substance, that means it is the product of or what is produced from hope. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Amen. So there has got to be the element of hope in order to have faith. Amen. Somebody said, I have faith. And oftentimes it's synonymous with I am hoping. Amen. Because without hope, you do not have any faith. Because faith is the product. Amen. It is what is produced out of having hope. He said faith is the substance of things hoped for. And then he said faith is not only the substance, but it's the evidence. And then he said of things you can't see. Amen. And so if you don't have any hope tonight, then I'm going to tell you, you don't have any faith. You have got to have hope in order to have faith. Amen. Hope, according to Webster's, means to wish for something to happen. That is what hope is. In verse number 12 of the same chapter, it says, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. He said, these all died in faith. Amen. But they couldn't have had any faith if they didn't start out with some hope in their life. He said, not receiving the promises. They never received the end result. But they never ceased hoping. Amen. But having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Then he said in verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through what? Through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us. Amen. Can I tell you tonight, one of the most misoften quoted scriptures that I've noticed over the years is when it is quoted, in this life only we have hope. We are of all men most miserable. That's not what it says. It says if in this life only we have hope in Christ. He said we are of all men most miserable. Why? Because Christ came with a message of a better hope. What the Old Testament and the law could not provide. Jesus walked onto the scene and he came preaching a message that they had never heard before. If my observations are correct, and I am by no means a theologian, amen, there is very little mention in the Old Testament about heaven and about another place. There is very little recorded, amen, about everlasting life. Amen. I don't find it in the Mosaic Law. I don't find it in the Levitical Law. I cannot find it anywhere. But it was Jesus that walked onto the scene. And he said, I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. He came with a message of hope, of a better tomorrow. That if we had hope in Christ only, we would be miserable in this life. But my hope, my brethren, is not here, but it's over there.
And I believe in the rapture. I believe in the soon coming King that is going to split those eastern skies. And he left his church with a hope that I'm coming back. Amen. I'm going to split those eastern skies. Look up. Amen. His coming is near. And so, without hope, we would have nothing. He said, God having provided some better thing for us, some hope that they, I'm glad there's hope tonight. Amen. Amen. That they without us should not be made perfect. Amen. Except that it was hope. Amen. We would be miserable tonight. Amen. If this is all we had, I know we get up and we like to brag about, oh, if this was all there was, I'd be so happy. Honey, amen. The experience down here runs thin some days. Amen. But oh, what keeps me going is I've got a better hope of a tomorrow that this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. This mortal is going to put on immortality. I've got a hope tonight. And that's what I've come to preach to you about, hope. 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 You got to have hope. Amen. Or you won't have any faith. And if you don't have any faith, you can't please God. Oh, you can't even begin to touch God. But that there is some hope there. Hope. Hope. Some expectation. If I read my Bible correctly, most of those that had miracles in the New Testament had it because they came expecting. They had hope.
All right. Yes, yes, yes.
Let me tell you what happens when hope goes away. Jeremiah 18:12 says, and they said, there is no hope. There's no hope. He said, there's no hope. And the people said, but we will walk after our own devices. I want to warn you tonight. Don't let hope slip out of your consciousness. Don't ever let hope slip out of your hand. Because if it ever does, you're walking on thin ice. You're going to walk in a dangerous area. Amen. They said we will walk after our own devices. And we will, everyone, do the imagination of his evil heart. Because that they lost hope. Because they felt like there was no more hope. No hope. And then in Jeremiah 2:25, they said again, withhold thy foot from being unshod and thy throat from thirst. And they were being rebuked. And he said, but thou saidest, there is no hope. No. For I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. Can I tell you one of the most dangerous times, amen, for your eternal salvation is when you get to a place that you feel like that there is no hope. Can I tell you tonight that it is the devil's, amen, mind, amen, to destroy hope out of the hearts and the minds of the saints of God. Amen. Oh, I know the saints are weary in this last hour. Preachers are shoulders. Amen. Are not held high like they used to. They're bowed because of the pressures. Amen. Of this life. But the devil wants to destroy all hope out of your life. It is his mission. He wants to take all the hope out of you. He wants to squash. He wants to strangle, amen, hope out of your very being. It is a dangerous time, amen, when all of a sudden you feel like that there is no hope. That's when the devil moves in. That's when you do something stupid. That's when you're going to do something that you will regret for eternity. Amen. Oh, the devil likes to see. We think that when we start saying there's no hope, that it is a sympathetic, amen, reaction that we will get. When in actuality, it's an open door for the devil to step in. Amen. When you say there's no hope, you are in danger of allowing evil, amen, to wreck your life. We think the people will say, oh, poor fella. Oh, he said there's no hope. Oh my God, help my brother. He said there's no hope. You better pray for him because he's in danger. You hear me? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Honey, if I can't please God, then I'm wasting my time. But when all hope is gone, and maybe you've never had no dark days. Maybe you've never been in the belly of a large fish as Jonah. I may not have had his experiences or some of the other prophets of old. Amen. And maybe you've never had a time where it felt like you were in a dungeon. Amen. Where it felt like that. Amen. It was dark and dreary, musty. Amen. Without hope. Amen. If you live for God long enough, you will go through similar situations. Amen. The Bible said in Acts, amen, chapter 27 and verse 20. You all know the situation. Just let me read you one verse. It says, "And wind, neither sun." They're out there trying to cross that open sea. Amen. They're in the middle of a storm. Amen. It seemed like all was lost. They cast everything out of the ship already. It seemed for certain that they were going to run aground. Amen. And it said, "And wind, neither the sun nor the stars in many days appeared." Amen. "And no small tempest lay on us." He said all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Have you ever been, amen, where it seemed like the sun did not shine and you couldn't see the moon and the stars and it felt like hope was gone? I'm going to tell you, the devil is out tonight to destroy somebody's hope. I'm talking to somebody tonight. He wants to rob you of hope. Because if he can take the hope out of your heart, he will rob you of faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. You gotta keep hoping. Amen. In the midst of the night. You gotta keep hoping. In the midst of the storms. You gotta keep hoping. When the clouds are over high. You gotta keep hoping. Amen. In the midst of the fiery darts of the devil. You got to keep hoping when your children walk out the door. You got to keep hoping when it seems like you're going to crash financially. You got to keep hoping when it seems like everybody is against you. Mom will tell you, the devil's going to do everything he can to wipe out the hope in your life. Amen. Because if he can get the hope, then you're destroyed and you have no faith. You may be seated. The devil wants you to think there's no hope. I'm going to tell you, listen to me just a few moments. When it seems like all hope is taken away. I was thinking this afternoon, amen, of some great preachers, and I probably need to abstain from names. But I was thinking in this day, when we are fighting against every kind of evil spirit, amen, that the devil can throw at the church, he's throwing it. Amen. I'm going to tell you, if there's ever an hour we need one another, brethren, it's in this hour. You hear me tonight? There's so much unrest in the country and in the land tonight. There is so much uncertainty. There is so much upheaval. Amen. Men trying to find compass and trying to find direction. If we've ever needed, amen, one another, we need each other now. Amen. Don't become an errant, amen, help of the devil against destroying hope. Because if you take all the hope away, then there's no faith. No wonder he said, when I come again, will I find faith? Can I just talk to you a few minutes? I may, if I'm a mile off, y'all just forgive me. It's what I feel. Amen. But I was thinking of Elder Mefford today, and I was thinking, brother, he had me coming over there preaching when I was in my 20s. When I was in my 20s, hey man, he was running close to 400 people. His balcony was almost completely full. The bottom was full. And I watched over the next few years as I would come in and out. I watched as devils rose and situations came and people left. I watched as, amen, I was sitting in his home one day, and they played a message on his recorder. Amen. And it was people flushing toilets and saying foul and wicked things. And I watched the man of God. The years had taken their toil. His shoulders were no longer held high. He wasn't a young man anymore. Even then, he was weary with the journey. Amen. He was weary with the battle. Amen. And I seen as it bothered him. And I watched a once, amen, confident, amen, able Bible teacher that preached conferences all over this country. Amen. Suddenly, amen, was questioning himself. Suddenly, he was looking around and it looked like his self-confidence was crumbling. And then he gives the church up. Before he did, he's sitting in a motor home out on by the ocean, very secluded place. Nervous wreck, heart problems, sugar problems, blood pressure problems. Amen, a nervous wreck. And I watched him, and it seemed like church was getting smaller and smaller. Amen. He was apologizing every time he had me come preach before he put me into the pulpit. And I thought, this man needs to give me no apologies. I'm nothing. And I watched what was happening to him. Now, he's not the only preacher I've seen this happen to. You hear me? I've looked around the country, and I can name a few more just right off. I watched it happen to Elder Chris Gilmer, who once had a large, thriving church in the middle of the desert out there in West Texas. I've watched great men of God, and the time and the battle wear on them. I watched a great evangelist shut down for months. Amen. With heart condition and problems and sugar. Amen. I'll tell you what it is. All of these things really were wrong with the body. But the body couldn't take the pressure. Amen. And it was breaking down. And instead of men running to their aid, I sat around and I heard people, well, I wonder.
Yeah. You got it.
Question and begin to surmise. Just hear me for a few moments tonight. They were losing hope. Can I tell you, those without the truth, the evangelicals, the charismatics, the Catholic Church have got help programs. Oh yeah. Matter of fact, Catholic Church is so good you can be a pervert and they'll cover that too. But it seems like sometimes we're so quick to just wonder why would a good evangelist just shut down and send out, or a pastor lose people. You know, if he's losing people, there must be something wrong with him. See, I can say that because I've lost people and I've gained people. So I feel like I can say that without you thinking that I am somehow envious. And they begin to wonder what happened. But can I tell you, I thank God that there was a Barnabas in the Bible that took a John Mark. Paul said, I don't want him. He withstood him face to face. You know, they had that little problem there. Paul said, I don't want him going with me. And Barnabas took him. And I don't know what happened between that chapter in Acts and then all the way into 2 Timothy, I think it is. Amen. Something happened. John Mark wasn't profitable then. And Paul didn't want him around him. Amen. But Barnabas kind of took him under his wing. And I don't know the time span, brethren. But I do know that in Timothy, Paul wrote and he said, send Mark, for he is profitable for my ministry. Somebody's in danger tonight. Somebody tonight in this house is walking on thin ice. You feel like hope is lost, and I've got nothing, amen, more to live for. I just wish I could die. God help us to help the brethren. God help me not to judge so quick. God, let me be a Barnabas. Oh God, let me be a helper and a healer. I'm not talking about, amen, all the corruption and having hypocrisy. Oh, get that out of your mind. I'm balancing what I'm saying. Somewhere along the line, it's more than the strongest survive. The fittest of the kingdom lives. But the devil is out to destroy their hope. I've been on the phone with a preacher, a pastor, amen, and twice now he's called and he's going to resign his church. He doesn't feel like he can go on. All because he's at the bottom of the barrel, you see. Things have happened economically that he wasn't in control of. Amen. Oh yeah, families, a few of them have left. Amen. And he feels like there's no hope. I listened and sat there while his wife wept. Amen. And shook. She is literally, I believe, having a breakdown. Amen. Because of the pressure. Amen. If there's ever a time that these men of God do not need an accusation, amen, or a critical word, amen, it's right now. Brethren, we are all we have is one another. Oh, the devil wants to rob your faith tonight by destroying all hope. You've said it. There's no hope. Why should I go on? No use. There's no hope. Oh, God have mercy. There's no hope. Ephesians 2:11, just amen, bear with me. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Honey, you gotta get some hope or you're going to be lost.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Help us, Lord. Wednesday night, a little over a week and a day ago, last Wednesday, I got up in my church and I began to enumerate some of all of the sickness and problems that we are experiencing in our church. I have even prayed and said, God, if there's some sin that needs to be uprooted, show it to me. We'll purge it out. If I've done anything, God, and you're judging this church, I take the blame. Let me carry it, but let me find an altar of repentance. Amen. We have, in the last 4 years, buried 1 to 2 people every 6 months. I have buried not the dingbats, not idiots. I'm talking about some stable, faithful men in their 40s. Amen. I've buried several already in the last 4 years because of cancer. Amen. I have buried a 14-year-old girl that went in for a simple back surgery. Amen. And she died on the operating table without any reason. They still don't understand what happened. I buried an 11-year-old boy with leukemia. I have buried every age group. I buried a year-old baby. I've buried them every age for the last 4 years. Amen. And I looked at our church. Amen. And at this time on that Wednesday night, amen, at that time I had at least 10 people either were just coming out of surgery or going into surgery. No, I'm not talking about, amen, ingrown toenails. I'm talking about cancers. I'm talking about major surgeries. I begin to name them off. I had a Sister Smith, which is Elder Timothy Minna's mother-in-law. You don't need all that, but anyhow, she was in the hospital in Los Angeles. They took out all but 2 inches of her stomach. She was not responding. She was in at death's door. I had another woman that was going on her 3rd week in the hospital. Amen. After colon cancer, and they cleaned it out, but she wasn't bouncing back. They were giving her blood. My assistant had been on his back for a month. He has no colon. He's got a little J pouch, and it was messed up. He's sicker than a dog, flat on his back. Amen. I just got a text, amen, before this service. They're taking him to UCLA. Amen. I mentioned that into their medical facility. Amen. I had another, my maintenance man, amen, just had a knee surgery. I didn't think it was that bad, but they couldn't stop the bleeding and found out that he was not only anemic, but was a sugar diabetic. And then I found out, amen, another one and another diabetic and another major surgery gone. But I named off 10 things. Brother Gilmer was there. He's sitting there looking depressed because I felt it too. But in the middle of that, I said, I'm going to tell you, amen, though all hell seems like it's rocking my church, I said, Truth Tabernacle, God is going to redeem us. And I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost fell right then and there. Amen. And 2 sinners got the Holy Ghost. I called Brother Boyd. I said, I got a new evangelistic message for you. It's called negative. Amen. And a negative with a positive God. Amen. And 2 got the Holy Ghost that night. Now, I left Sunday. This is Thursday. Amen. Sunday. Nothing's changed. You hear me? I've got a lady dying right now, 2 of them with cancer. They could go any day. Amen. On top of all of the others. Amen. And I said, God, because sometimes you just don't even know how to have church. The devil wants to rob you of hope. But if I had hope in Christ in this life only, I would be miserable. But I'm preaching a message that's a message of an eternal tomorrow. Somebody needs to hear me tonight. Sunday morning, we had 2 kids off the bus get the Holy Ghost. And I'm sorry if y'all don't believe in buses. Amen. Got the Holy Ghost. Sunday night, I had 7 more get the Holy Ghost. I don't know what's happening. It seems like all hell's broke out. But I've got hope. I've got hope. In the midst of all hell breaking out and the devil's whispering in your ear, there's no hope. There's no hope. Look what everybody else is doing. Hogwash with that. You got to get some faith tonight, but you got to start off having hope. Yeah. You can't have revival today. You can't win souls today. It don't work today. Hallelujah. I'm not smart enough to figure out if it works or it don't work. All I know, amen, is if I will have hope, God will give the increase. Now what I'm talking about tonight is no easy task. Somebody tonight needs to, amen, get, you need to bow your head. You need to grit your teeth. Somebody here tonight, amen, you ought to say, it's enough, devil. I'm tired of listening to your hopeless message. Look, I didn't come with anything else. Honey, the devil wants to rob you of hope. I'll just preach to your church. Is that all right? Amen. And you're wondering, what's going to happen with our pastor? He's all positive and everything, but really, what is going to happen? Really, he's doing all these things, but what is going to happen? And the devil is whispering a message of no hope in your ear. Hear me tonight. Amen. I don't have the most power-packed, positive, team on my platform. Amen. Oh, no, I kid around about it. If you'll just allow a little folly on my behalf. But I said, man, there's our church. They're sitting up there, and they're looking at their fearless leaders. Amen. The former pastor, he's sitting there going to sleep, drooling. Just forgive me. I love my father-in-law. I'm just telling you the truth. He falls asleep, drool dripping off his chin. There's the former pastor. Amen. The current pastor's up there, and he's having a seizure. He's passing out. His assistant standing there, he's got a stain growing on his britches because he ain't got no colon. Man, them people are out there going, go, team, go. Look. My God, talk about a hapless crew. Amen. Of sick and cripples. Amen. Oh, yeah, I understand. But can I tell you, I've got hope. Come on, Faith Tabernacle. You got to get some hope that in the face of adversities, there's a God that's going to see you through. You can harm this body, but you can't take my hope away. Hope! Somebody needs to lift up their head. Somebody needs to raise up their hands in defiance to the evidence. They said you can't build a church. They said it'll never work there. You're washed up, the devil says. You're finished. But I got hope tonight, and it's not in this life only. It's easy to feel good when revival's happening. But brother, it's hard when you're sick and people are leaving and your head is down. I watch these older preachers. They're second guessing themselves. They're feeling unsure because the devil's trying to say, I'm finished with you. Amen. The God is done with you. There's no hope for you. Look at all of the successful. Look at all of those that are doing good. Look at you. You worthless old man, you. You can't do anything, but I've come to tell somebody tonight, there is hope. Don't lose hope. It's not in this body. It's not in my ability, but it's in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. know maybe you've never been through a dark night. That storm maybe has never hit your little boat. But I've been there. I laid in the hospital for 21 days. I was on chemo and 18 other drugs. And I thought in the midst of the haze, Elder, I'm laying there. Days have gone by and I don't hardly know which day it is. But something in my deep inner being was crying out, there's still hope as long as there's breath in this body, as long as there's a God sitting on the throne. He's Toto Moha. As long as there is truth, there's hope. It's breaking the minds of our wives. Amen. They're becoming cynical, bitter, depressed. I heard one pastor's wife say, I hate saints. She really didn't hate them. She was just misplacing her frustration because all she saw was a life spent for nothing. And when you're down, after you preach to people, I'm going to tell you, brother, I've never been happy about people leaving. Amen. Even the ones that were trouble, I questioned myself and said, God, where did I go wrong? I love them people. I wanted them saved. Amen. Hear me tonight. Amen. But when it feels like you failed. Because anointed men keep people. It's not so. And our wives are watching. And we're not careful. I've seen bitterness set in. Because we've spent years. We stayed up with their sick babies. Hear me tonight. We've been there in the hospital. We dedicated them and held them in our hands. I put them down in the water in Jesus' name. And now they despise me. They don't come around. They won't have anything to do with me. It hurts. When it feels like all of a sudden you get sick and you can't perform like you used to perform. Suddenly we think maybe the saints, these people will come and help hold our arms up, Elder. But don't count on it. Because when it don't happen, you're going, but I gave it all. Yes. Can I tell you something? I was with Carl Ballestero till he passed. He was at our church. His last days. Where were the thousands that he preached to? Where were the saints he gave his health for? They weren't there. A couple visitors here and there, but oh, by no means even a percent. All was there was his family. And I believe God and his angels. If our hope in Christ is just in this life, friend, you are going to be bitter and you are going to be sorry. But I got a hope, you see, Elder? I got a hope. And it's not in this life. My treasure is not in my things. Said, look at the car he drives. Look at the house he lives in. Don't you understand? None of it brings peace. I've got to lay my treasure there. In that tomorrow. So I will not have my heart destroyed down here. I've got to place it where my treasure is. Hear me tonight. I know I need to close. I know.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Colossians says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Of glory. In Romans 8 and 24 it says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope? But if we hope for that we see not, do we with patience wait for it? I'm coming to a close. You can stand. He said, you know the story of Ezekiel. God took him to this valley of dry bones. Dead, dry bones. I don't even recollect what battle would have ensued that left all of these Israelites in this valley. But nonetheless, it was there. And he told him to prophesy. But then he said, in verse 11 of chapter 37 of Ezekiel, then he said unto me, God said, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore, preach. Well, I know he said prophesy, but he said preach. You know what? I've come tonight. You said, preacher, you're too late. You're too late. It's not too late. I said, it's not too late. He said, therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you unto the land of Israel. Hope's not all. I know the devil's been working on you. But I've come, I feel like, with a word of God. I'm not a conference preacher. I've just come with a message for somebody tonight. Don't let the devil rob your hope. When he robs your hope, you have no faith. If you don't have any faith, you can't even please God. The devil's out tonight to rob your hope. You have said, all hope is lost. You've said those words. There is no hope. You have felt like there is no hope. I've just come to tell somebody tonight. When you've done all to stand, stand. Keep on trucking. Keep on keeping on. Don't give up hope. I'm closing. But I found an old poem attributed to the Journal of Columbus as he and his crew were sailing for the New Americas, or the route as they were looking for, and they discovered America. That on that journey they lost men and ships, and it looked bad, and there's just this old poem about it. Amen. And I believe the admiral in this poem is God talking to us, the great admiral of our fleet of ships. And if y'all just don't mind, let me read this to you. It inspired me. It said, the poem goes, before him not the ghost of shores, before him only shoreless seas. The good mate said, now must we pray, for lo, the stars are gone. Brave admiral, Speak. What shall I say? Why say? Sail on, sail on, and on. My men grow mutinous day by day. My men grow ghastly, weak, wane and weak. The stout mate thought of a home. A spray of salt wave washed his swarthy cheek. What shall I say, brave admiral? If we sight not but seize at dawn. Why, you shall say, at break of day, sail on, sail on, and on. They sailed and sailed as winds might blow, until at last the blanched mate said, why now, not even God would know. Should I and all my men fall dead, these very winds forget their way, for God from these dread seas is gone. Now speak, brave admiral, speak and say. He said, sail on, sail on, and on. They sailed, they sailed. Then spake the mate, this mad sea shows his teeth tonight. He curls his lip, he lies in wait, with lifted teeth as if to bite. Brave admiral, say but one good word. What shall we do when hope is gone? The words leapt like a leaping sword. Sail on, sail on, and on. They would come to the music. Hope. There's no hope. Don't let the devil rob you of hope. He's here to destroy your hope. When it seems all hope is lost, just hold on, sail on, sail on, and on. The ship is rocking tonight. We've thrown everything overboard. What's left? You've said, God, what more do you want? I've given you all, and there's nothing left. It's hard to hope. It's hard to hope and hope when it seems that I cannot cope. Like a blind man. Whether David wrote the words himself or the writers of the Psalms were surely all influenced by David. He said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me, because I can't find it. I'm like a blind man. I can't see. This is unfamiliar territory, and somebody's moved everything around. I woke up and everything has changed, Pastor. And he said, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. I don't know what's going to happen. Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight, please. This is not conference. This is church tonight. And I feel like there's somebody that needs to come down to this altar of hope. Jesus Christ, the hope. This is maybe not protocol for this conference, but
For some reason, I feel like there's somebody. God's been talking to you tonight. You need to step out, regardless of pride and what anybody thinks, because it doesn't matter. There's hope down here in this altar. Now, I don't have a sad story to tell. I got a hope story. But if you'll come down and bow your knee in this altar tonight, there's hope. There's hope. God's talking to somebody tonight. You need to step out of your pew. You don't understand. I'm a pastor's wife. Or I'm somebody. Yeah, you're somebody. God is taking time to talk to you because you thought there's no hope. There's no hope. I'm telling you, in this altar, you can get leading because you can't find it by yourself. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, there's hope in this place tonight. You don't have to leave here because the devil wants to rob you of that hope. He wants you to feel like there's no use going on. But I'm telling you, it may look bad and it may look rough, but sail on. You haven't seen shore for a long time, but sail on. It may seem like it's a waste of time, but it's not a waste of time tonight. Oh, God is trying to reach out with His arms and wrap them around you and say, "My child, you cried through the night, but I'm here to tell you there's hope. Don't let them steal your hope tonight." I don't know anybody hardly here. You know what God's trying to say.